6-6 podcast, Tebow. Oh, no. It's a wild card weekend recap. We've got an awkward situation here as my partner in podcasting crime, Ryan Wilson, is a Steelers fan, and we're fresh off the Broncos win, but we'll talk about that. The pending implosion of CBS Sports Network or CBS, the network itself, and the Patriots and Broncos rematch again next weekend. We'll talk about the Lions' loss, what it means for the Saints moving forward, whether they can win outdoors, if the Giants are actually Super Bowl contenders, what the Falcons need to do going forward, and really, you know, we'll break down the rest of the playoffs if the Texans have a shot at overtaking the Ravens. First of all, obviously, Ryan, the story that everybody's going to be talking about for the rest of the week is Tim Tebow, and I mean, it's like after everything he did for six straight weeks, then to have his skill like take steps back consecutively for three straight weeks, the Broncos back into the playoffs, and then he throws a walk-off 80-yard touchdown pass, looking the entire time, by the way, like a legitimate quarterback, a walk-off 80-yard touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas in overtime to topple the Steelers. It's mind-blowing.
I have about 14 things to say. Number one, Tebow. Oh, no. I was actually chanting that during the first quarter when the Steelers were making their way with the Broncos, and then Tebow actually stuck it right up my keister. But I think, look, you know the biggest loser, and I chatted this to our buddy Michael Davis Smith, who was commiserating with me on Sunday night because his Lions lost to the Saints, John Elway, because now he cannot backtrack on anything.
He's got nowhere to go. I mean, Tebow is locked in. I think that he'll catch it. I mean, you and I said this before. I mean, they'll still sign a veteran quarterback, Brady Quinn's an unrestricted free agent, I believe. But they, So I mean, they're going to have Tim Tebow, and that's it.
But the difference is that the Torch and Pitchfork crowd, who may have been wavering on Tebow after he lost three in a row, are now fully behind him, and they will rip off Elway's wig and steal his chapstick that he was applying right before that touchdown and maim and hurt him very badly. But a couple things from this game. When we got on the horn, you said to me that I don't sound as upset as I usually as you might expect me to be given the Steelers' loss, because I'm such a homer. And I was chatting during the game. And this is the most animated I've been during the game. I was by myself because my wife refuses to be around me when I'm watching Steelers.
Understandably.
But given my job, I don't have time to be as crazy as I once was. But this game was different, and by the time it was over, I actually had accepted the fact that the Lord wanted Tebow to win. But more than that, if you go back through Ben Roethlisberger's career, he came to the Steelers in 2004. This was the least troublesome loss for me at the end of the season, because they had a ton of injuries, starting with the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. But they lost Casey Hampton, their nose tackle, and Brett Keisel, one of their best defensive players in the first two series. They were already without Ryan Clark. Hines Ward is a shell of the person he was. They lost their left tackle, Max Starks, midway through the game. They had to go to Jonathan Scott, their backup, who was so awful they had to sign Max Starks off his couch about a month into the season. So they had a lot going against them. And there's only so much. I know Mike Tomlin likes to say the standard is the standard, but when you're playing third stringers, the standard is not the standard. So I thought Roethlisberger played pretty well, all things considered.
He was great in the second half.
Looked a lot more mobile after his little dinosaur brain decided to tell his foot that it didn't hurt. Anthony Brown showed up. Mike Wallace, I thought, did not show up. He had a nice touchdown on the end around. We talked about that. But he dropped a 50-yard pass. He dropped a fumble that, for some reason, I don't understand the rules as to why John Fox would not challenge that play. That would have been the end of the game right there early in the third quarter if he had challenged
Fox pulled back his challenge because he was just going to lose it. I think they gave him an option to pull it back when they said, look, the rule, it was a fumble, but the rule states with the whistle blowing it dead that I don't know that he could challenge it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an unchallengeable play.
It wasn't a Marvin Lewis play, and maybe it's more akin to what happened to Jim Schwartz and the Lions when they blew that fumble dead, and they should have returned that for a touchdown. Because, you know, I haven't heard Mike Tomlin's comments, but Schwartz was certainly harping on that after the game. I thought Ike Taylor played probably his worst game in 4 or 5 years. I
know. Absolutely.
I'll tell you this before we get into it, and then you can talk for a little bit, because I've been talking for a while. I can guarantee you that the game plan, according to Dick LeBeau, was stop the run, and they did that. They absolutely demolished McGahee, which we talked about before because they have a history of killing McGahee anyway. Forced two fumbles. Ryan Mundy, who came in for Ryan Clark, forced two fumbles. One they recovered on a big play that ended up tying the score. But their game plan was to stop the running game, which I thought they did for the most part, and make Tebow complete passes. And it's not unreasonable to think that Tebow cannot hit a wide-open receiver, because he can't. He's shown that he can't. But he did it Sunday night. And, you know, you have to say credit to him. And as Dick LeBeau likes to say, sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you. And this time the Bible-thumping bear, you know, beat their arse.
No, I mean, look, that's a good point. I mean, McGahee, 19 carries, 61 yards. He was particularly ineffective. Tebow didn't really run well. I thought the Steelers did a good job containing him for the most part. You know, whatever he would try to scramble and pick up first downs, I think he had a couple, but I mean, he didn't put up big yardage or anything. He hit under 50% of his passes, but he was striping the deep balls.
He sure was. No one in a million years expected that. No one anywhere. Tebow's parents, Urban Meyer, his high school coach, Dick LeBeau especially, Ike Taylor, Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
No one, and he just kept doing it. So I guess the prayers paid off, and he kept doing it, and it was just like, really? The first time? Look, the first two passes he completed was the 50-something yarder to Thomas and the touchdown pass to Eddie Royal. Both times they were perfect passes because Ike Taylor got beat, but he still had a chance to make a play. And then William Gay in the end zone had a chance to make a play, and Eddie Royal caught it through both of his hands somehow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, Ike Taylor didn't get beat in the sense of, like, Ike Taylor screwed up.
He didn't look like Pac-Man Jones Saturday.
Right, right. I mean, look, Tebow stroked those balls. I mean, I should probably revise that statement, but but I mean, I don't know what to say. I think he was 0-for-2 in the first quarter, and then
they
went
3 and out the first two series.
Yeah, and then he had 2 incompletions, I believe, and then he went for a 185 in the second quarter.
All bombs.
Yeah, and I mean, like that 30-yard. They were good passes. They were good looking passes.
No, they sure were. You can't look. He is not an NFL quarterback. We continue to say that. And I said this to you before the game, things are so ridiculous that the Steelers are going to lose or it's going to be extremely close. No one picked the Broncos. And it's just one of those things. It's just a confluence of events that started with, Tebow praying a lot, but also the injuries. Roethlisberger wasn't himself in the first half. And they had the interception. And you know what? I'm not surprised. I don't want to say I'm proud of the Steelers because, you know, I'm a grown man. This is a football team.
They fought back.
I'm not unhappy with the way they played, given their circumstances, given that their best player was hurt, and given that they were without their top 5 or 6 players due to injuries at some point. So, you know.
No, look, in that first half, I mean, the Steelers were doing a good job moving. They got those 2 field goals from Swisham. They moved the ball down the field. I thought they did a nice job of mixing the pass and the run. Redmond looked really good.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were really dominating and controlling this game. And then, then they got down and Ben tried to make too much happen, and he was just clearly hampered by his ankle. I mean, he couldn't throw into balls. He couldn't. He wasn't very mobile. He couldn't extend plays. And I assume, I don't know if we'll find out, what happened at halftime. I got to assume he got some sort of pain-killing injection at halftime because he looked a lot more mobile in the second half.
That would make sense. But he said after the San Francisco game, he didn't take an injection before the game. He seemed like to be offended that someone.
Well, he had to have been knocked up on something. Did you see that hat he was wearing after the game?
No, I didn't hang around to watch the post game.
Oh boy,
I was like the Dallas fan who tried to beat his nephew with a frying pan umbrella. So I had to take a walk with the dog. But I don't know. I mean, it would make sense because he was running around like a fat guy who's just taking a couple shots at last call. So,
all right, I got 2 questions for you then.
Yeah.
What do you make of my ranking Tim Tebow 5th in the remaining playoff quarterbacks? That's behind everybody except Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Eli Manning, ahead of Joe Flacco, Alex Smith, and TJ Yates. Dead serious. And what kind of odds do you give the Broncos on upending the Patriots next weekend?
Not very good. I think they'll lose by 30.
Really?
Yeah, I think they'll get absolutely blown out because the Steelers played quite possibly the worst 24 minutes of the first half after that 6-0 lead that they could have played. It was it was almost unbearable to watch for me. And unlike Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady will not be hobbling around unless something happens. They've already beaten this team pretty handily. They beat him handily in Denver. Tebow, you know, they ran the ball pretty well to start that game, the Broncos. Right.
And then the Broncos started turning the ball over. And when you turn – and look, let's not mince words. When the Broncos turn the ball over, they suck. I mean, they're a terrible team when they turn the ball over, because even as good as Tim Tebow is throwing the ball today, he's not putting up those numbers coming from behind. You know what I mean? Like, he's not because
that's right.
Because he was beating the Steelers when they were playing the run and he was throwing the ball deep. Teams aren't playing the run like that when you're down, if you're down 14 or 21 points.
And the problem, part of the problem, and I have no issue with the way the Steelers, their game plan, with play man-to-man, because Demaryius Thomas doesn't usually beat people deep, and you expect Ike Taylor to play better, and he did. So I'm fine with that one-on-one matchup and forcing Tebow standing in the pocket all day long to throw the ball. He was on fire. I mean, on fire for Tebow isn't on fire for Tom Brady or Drew Brees, but it's certainly enough for them to win the game in overtime.
Yeah, and look, I'll say this. One of the things we've seen is that if you spread the Broncos out, they're a lot less effective on defense. So that plays into the hands of the Patriots, because they can certainly spread anybody out.
We talked about it. Von Miller isn't the player he was after he hurt his thumb. He didn't.
No, he's not.
He had a few plays today, but that's because Ben Roethlisberger had one leg and the Steelers were back. Had gone to their backup left tackle. That won't happen in all likelihood next week against the Patriots. So this is a one and done, but I think the story you take away from this is that Tebow solidified his place as the Steelers, as the Broncos starter, and John Elway and John Fox will be punching themselves in the face all offseason.
Yeah, they're going to hate life. All right, so what about the Flacco thing? Am I insane? You can tell I'm like half sold. I mean, I'm sold on it because Tebow's mobile and Flacco's had some real turds. I mean, monster turds this season. And I don't put it past him to lay an egg against somebody in the playoffs. Tebow's got the intangibles and he can run the ball and he's seeming to stripe the deep ball these days. So that's why I got Tebow over Flacco. But I'm not like going to get in a fight with somebody over it.
Right. Here's how I think about it. And I'm at the point now, and I was talking to another buddy of mine about here's how the rest of my playoff watching weekends are going to go. I need someone to beat the Ravens, because if they win the Super Bowl with Harbaugh, that would be a million times worse than Billick ever winning the Super Bowl. That's how annoying Harbaugh is. But here's how I think about the Tebow ranking. How would the Broncos be with either Flacco or Alex Smith as their quarterback? And I would have to think they would be
worse.
A little better.
A little bit.
I was going to say a little better, but not much better. I'm not sure that they would be more than 8-8. And you're right, they could be worse. So I don't think Tebow, the ranking that you have him at, would you have him at fifth?
Fifth, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily outsane. Okay. Yeah, outsane. Insane.
Yeah. Out of control. Insane. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think that Alex Smith is in a similar spot in San Francisco because they run the ball and have a really good defense. I think that Alex Smith has better receiving options, and I think Joe Flacco does too. I mean, and Ray Rice is certainly Ray Rice and Frank Gore are certainly better runners than Willis McGahee.
I might take McGahee over Gore because Gore's been hurt, and also maybe. We have to keep reminding ourselves that they traded Brandon Lloyd, who is. He's a top 10 receiver.
He's going to the Patriots next year, by the way. Oh, yeah. But speaking of which, it blows my mind. So the first game first game back for Josh McDaniels as the Patriots offensive assistant, he returned to the Patriots. They announced it about 10 minutes after the Broncos beat the Steelers, will be to face Tim Tebow and Demaryius Thomas. That's nuts.
I know, and one of the – I can't remember who. It might have been Kiesla from the Denver Post, who was whinging about it on Saturday night, about how Goodell should step in and say this can't happen because
– What?
Well, he was saying that since McDaniels has played these teams, it's an unfair advantage. And my point is that coaches have tape on every team in the league. They can watch any play on any down from any week. It's not necessarily an unfair advantage. And if McDaniels was so valuable, then the Rams should have locked him up. That aside, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out how to stop Tebow and or Thomas.
Yeah, I mean
he was on fire.
I don't get that at all. I mean the Patriots have played Tebow more recently than McDaniels has. It's not like he holds the secret to Tim Tebow's life. He just drafted him. I mean, it's a crazy story. It's an amazing coincidence, but I mean, it doesn't have any effect to me, because you look at it and the Patriots have played both the Steelers and the Broncos this year. I mean, they got all the tape they need. They've already played these teams. They lost to one of them and they beat the other, and they know what they're going to do, you know?
That's right. And not only that, the Steelers play the Rams in week 16 and beat them 27-0. What I'm not exactly sure what McDaniel's going to bring to the table, other than to say, Tom Brady, please continue to do what you keep doing.
Yeah, I mean
don't act like the Rams.
I think, if anything, McDaniel's, what they're doing is they're saying, look, Bill O'Brien's got one foot out the door towards Penn State. Yeah. We're going to bring in Josh McDaniels next year, so why don't we start using him now in case Bill O'Brien's distracted? I mean,
yeah, no, people, you know, this is nothing like, no one has said this, but this is nothing like the other issues that have surrounded the Patriots, like Spygate or whatever. Right. I have no issue with this. I don't care. They can hire whichever coach they want, whenever they want, and bring them in to do whatever. I don't care, because it's not like they don't have any extra knowledge that anyone else has.
Right.
It's all out there.
I think maybe, if anything, the Denver media is just still cheesed at McDaniels. You know?
Well, they fully expected the Broncos to lose today like everyone else. Although, right. I will say this. I said this to you in the last podcast and throughout the week, that I thought the game was going to be very close. And then before kickoff, I said, if they lose, I'm going to go crazy, because, you know, it wouldn't surprise me given all the hype going towards the Steelers.
Well, I mean, it was just – there were just so many people picking – I mean, it was just – you know, like I said earlier in the week, sometimes things are so obvious that they're too obvious. And, you know, this is a division, you know, division champion. I mean, we've seen it, I think two other times when a team is favored by like 7 points on the road in the playoffs. I mean, it's, you know, weird stuff happens at the playoffs.
Yeah, home team's 4-0 this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Higher seed held. Moving backwards in the weekend, the Falcons got demoralized and demolished
and donkey punched
and shut out, technically.
Yeah.
Even though the Falcons did quote unquote score 2 points, they didn't score it offensively.
No, Eli scored it for them.
That's right. They scored 2 points. They lost, is it 24-2, I believe is the final?
24-2.
Eli Manning looked great. As you pointed out, as you wrote so eloquently after the game, the Giants rushing attack looked great. And the Falcons looked terrible. Matt Ryan, I have to go back and look at it. I feel like he averaged something like, I mean, it's a really, really low number. I think he threw
24 for 41 for 199.
I mean, what is Mike Mularkey doing, trying not to get a job? I don't understand this.
Yeah, you wrote about that in Sorting the Sunday Pile. And you always say that Mularkey's conservative, and I always come back with, when he was with the Steelers in the early 2000s, he was ultra crazy with all these trick plays. But I just don't know what they could have done. The running game wasn't working. Let's see, Turner was 15 for 41. I mean, that's
terrible.
That's a non-starter. And not only that, the Giants were without one of the cornerbacks.
Aaron Ross left with a concussion.
And I think they lost another defensive player. I can't remember who. But either way, they just couldn't get anything going. And I wrote about this before the game. Brent Grimes, their cornerback, was out, who you could argue is their best cornerback, more so than Dante Robinson.
Sure.
And the Giants still ran all over them. The Falcons came to the game with like a top-five run defense. The Giants were awful. 20th against the run, according to Football Outsiders. And Jacobs and Bradshaw just went off. I mean, Eli Manning had a 14-yard run. He was outrunning the linebacker to the sidelines, which is something you never see. So I don't know if it's just a lack of preparation. They weren't prepared. I don't know what it was, but it was clear after they were still in it at halftime.
It was 7-2 at halftime.
Early in the third quarter, it became clear that they were outmatched.
I feel like, and if you look at Matt Ryan, so let me ask you this. Matt Ryan's now 0-3 in the playoffs. Do you buy into the idea that Matt Ryan is not a great quarterback?
No.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. He was drafted the same year as Flacco. I would take Matt Ryan any day of the week against Flacco. And Flacco he's won plenty of playoff games his first 4 years now. And he is not the quarterback Matt Ryan is.
No, I agree. Look, I think that, I mean, playoff wins are important because, you know, are you taking Tim Tebow over Matt Ryan? Everybody who's complaining about Matt Ryan? Hell no.
Yeah. This is the same conversation about the, you know, it's like the best player never to win a major. I mean,
right.
You're not taking, who's a scrub.
That at least hinges on individual ability. I mean, quarterback. I mean, but you look at it, and I was looking it up. Matt Ryan, I think over the course of his career, averages something like 7 yards per attempt, right?
Yeah.
When you average it out. In the playoffs, he averages like 5 yards an attempt per attempt. And then, you know, you look at the numbers this week, 41 for 200 yards. I mean, that's right about 5 yards per attempt. So you kind of wonder, is Mike Mularkey getting too conservative in the playoffs? I mean, they didn't try anything downfield. Nothing.
I don't know. I don't know if it's solely on Mularkey. I mean, at some point, these guys have to execute.
Sure. And well, let's talk about the fourth and ones, Mike Smith. Two failed fourth and ones. They tried to sneak Matt Ryan both times.
Fine with those. Look, if you Matt Ryan is 6'4 and 235 pounds.
You got Michael Turner, though. What are you paying him for?
It's an inch. If you can't get that without – I mean, it's on Ryan, but it's more so on the offensive line. I think the first one, one of the ones, I'm not sure if it's the first or second one, but there was so much penetration that Michael Turner would have been tackled for a 4-yard loss when they tackled Matt Ryan. So I think it's on the offensive line. Sam Baker's been benched. He was a first-round pick, a tackle. He had been benched during the season. He came in as a, you know, like the extra lineman. And it just nothing was working. And you can blame it on any number of things. I can't believe anyone would question whether Mike Smith's job's in jeopardy. But they have a lot of work to do.
No, I don't think his job's in jeopardy. I think that they wouldn't mind if Mularkey ended up going, getting a job in Jacksonville, you know. Although, I mean, look, that's 3 fourth and 1, 4th and short. I think the Falcons were 1 for 5 on 3rd and 4th in short yardage, and that's 3 really season-defining 4th and inches that they missed. They missed that one against the Saints in overtime earlier in the regular season that, you know, pretty much put the division chances out of play. And then they missed these two, and they really seemed to demoralize the team. I mean, they were in the game, and then the Giants got hot. Eli Manning started hitting Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz, and
whoever was wide open down the field.
Yeah, I mean, whoever was open with that Rob Ryan designed defensive game plan.
I mean, let me ask you this, because I thought about this late in the game: was the Julio Jones trade worth it?
It's interesting now that the Browns can get no worse than 23rd in the first round of next year's draft. I still say yes, because I think Julio Jones is going to develop into a premier wide receiver.
That's fine, but the goal I would assume for Dimitroff is to win a Super Bowl, let's say in the next 3 years, right. Counting this year, so 2 more years after this, because that's a lot to give up over the next few years for a chance to win now, and now we'll say is 3 seasons worth, counting 2011.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in the next 2 years. I wouldn't say right now that the Falcons are favorites to win the Super Bowl in 2012.
Hell no.
And, you know, a lot can happen between now and 2013, but right now I would say that the trade is a disaster. I love Julio Jones, but given what they could have had, and we talked about this before, there were other receivers that they possibly could have taken farther down the draft or.
So they still got 2 more years of first-rounders, right? Or is it just 1 more year?
Who?
The Falcons.
They don't have a first-rounder this year, but I think they have one next year.
Okay, so they gave up the 2011 first-rounder.
In 2010, I think.
Or no. The one coming up is 2012.
Yeah. 2011, 2012, and then, you know, whatever after that, second and a fourth maybe.
Yeah, that's right. They got a first and a fourth left to give the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of picks, man. I mean, you could put, and especially at wide receiver, you see these guys come out of nowhere all the time. I think
he was playing on the other side of the field.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean.
And last year they did with Michael Jenkins and lost in the first round. You don't need to give him a bunch of picks to lose in the first round.
No, that's true. Look, no, I think because of where they ended up, they lost it. They lost the trade. And here's the other thing. You gave up all those picks and you score 2 points on a safety.
You know what I mean? And not even talking about the points, but yeah, you can't score more than 2 points that Eli Manning gave you.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you that it's not. Yeah, I mean, you're right. They lost it.
And look, Bill Belichick, who was friends with Dimitroff, because I'm sure they had some sort of New England connection or some coaching lineage connection previously, said to him on draft day last year, as a friend, I would not do this deal. I like, what's his name? Jonathan Baldwin.
Baldwin of the Chiefs, yeah.
I like him just as much, and they could have had him late in the first round, and I don't know how he would have turned out in Atlanta, but they still would have their first and fourth round picks and whatever else they gave up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I guess it's like this. Judging the Falcons side versus the Browns side, I think that it's fairly even. But judging just whether or not the Falcons won or lost the deal, they lost it. Because they didn't advance past the first round of the playoffs. They didn't get home field in the playoffs, first of all, which is problematic because you get Julio for that turf in the Georgia Dome. Second of all, you score 2 points in New York.
God.
Yeah, with them missing the second best cornerback too.
Yeah, and also, you know, comparing to the Browns isn't much of a task because the Browns are perennial losers.
Right, so, and the Browns might draft a stinker 23rd, but that didn't mean that somebody else wouldn't have found better value with those picks.
The Browns lost out on the Sanchez trade, and that doesn't mean the Jets still suck. Don't
right? Yeah,
they're still awful.
Yeah, if you lost the Sanchez trade, you're pretty bad. I mean, I think that they. And by the way, I just realized that Demaryius Thomas became the, because he had 200 yards, he became the seventh wide receiver to have 200 yards in a game. Calvin Johnson was the other one. This is an awkward force of a segue. But we'll move to Lions, Saints now because we've determined that the Falcons suck. Do you think, do you think the Giants, are you starting to come around on the idea that the Giants could win the Super Bowl again?
Well, I'm coming around on the idea that they can certainly compete with the Packers. But I'm at
10-point underdogs.
That's a lot. I mean, the Broncos were 9-point underdogs, and clearly that didn't work out.
Right.
But the problem is I don't want the Saints to win the Super Bowl, but I would have to take the Saints over the Ravens if it gets to that point. So I'm at a crossroads of – I still have mixed emotions about what I want to happen. But I do like the Giants' chances against the Packers. Also, do I want the Packers to be repeats? Because then we'll have to hear about that for the next year. So I have to think about – you know, months in advance about what the storylines will be.
trying to avoid it, which is like number one rule is always no Rex Ryan.
Yeah, well, we're clear of that. Yeah. But I do think the Giants have a chance. And they, look, in 07, they went to Green Bay and whipped the Packers with Brett Favre. And the Packers, that was one of Brett Favre's best years as an old-timer.
Oh, yeah. Now here's where I'll say the Giants are in trouble. If the Saints beat the 49ers – I think the Saints if the Saints beat the 49ers and get to play the Giants in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. I mean, if the Saints get home field again, and so if you're pulling against the Saints, you're pulling for the Packers this weekend because I think the Packers have a much better shot of stopping the Saints.
But you know what though, if the Saints win and they meet the Ravens in Indy, the Saints are going to go bonkers.
Because if the Saints play the Ravens indoors, yeah, that's true. But so are the Packers.
I like the Saints better, I think, at this point because, right now my primary concern is making sure the Ravens don't win and I go from there. I think the Saints are number two, but I would gladly take the Saints over because Greg Williams will leave and then he'll go wherever Fisher grows and they'll lose for a little bit, so I'll be able to reconcile that. So right now this is mostly about me.
By the way, I was chuckling for a second and then I looked up and it occurred to me that's how I pick my like March Madness bracket.
Right.
I let these scenarios play out that we'll have Carolina losing and not winning the national championship.
You know what's funny, though? We worry about these things, but, you know, 30 minutes after the game is over, no one cares. Like, everyone moves on. They're looking towards the next year or whatever the next sport is, baseball or whatever happens later. But, you know, that's how we get through the days.
No, it's true. I mean, like, the shelf life for these stories is minuscule. I mean, even Tebow died down for those 3 weeks. Until this week. Anyway, Lions Saints. I thought that the game was closer than it appeared. I thought the Lions made some mistakes. I thought the Lions got screwed by the refs a little bit. And generally the Saints were awesome in the second half. I mean, they didn't punt once in the entire game. The Lions secondary was terrible. Ndamukong Suh got through the line of scrimmage, but he did so in a way that he was basically tricked by the Saints into getting as far upfield as he could, so that way he couldn't get near Drew Brees. They were kind of playing off his aggression and the offensive lines or the defensive line's aggression. And I mean, look, the Saints are really good. They got great weapons. They got Drew Brees. They were fantastic in the second half, and the Lions couldn't capitalize on two. One should have been a pick six. Eric Wright should have had that, and then another easy interception. If Drew Brees hands you two picks and you don't get them. You're going to lose.
And as well as the fumble that the officials blew dead.
Should have gone to the house, too.
And that's what Schwartz said after the game. He said about 15 times he was doing his, like he was a, a press secretary for any number of presidents who just kept repeating the same talking points. He said, missed tackles, we dropped two interceptions, and the calls.
They're bad calls.
They were bad calls, and I'm sure he'll get fined because, God forbid, you can point out someone's incompetence without being called out yourself. I know it sounds like he's making excuses, but it really is atrocious that how bad some of these calls are. To go briefly back to the Steelers game, James Harrison was called for a ticky-tack pass, roughing the passer penalty, and yet four instances later, Tebow was face masked, and no one thought to throw a flag on that. But that sort of happened all weekend. I thought that the first game was probably the best officiated, the Texans-Cincinnati game. But after that, it was pretty much a crapshoot. But whatever. The Lions deserved to lose that game, whether it was by 1 point or they ended up losing by 17. But there are a lot of positives to take away from that. Matt Stafford, as our buddy MDS pointed out, is the youngest quarterback in the tournament.
The Elite Eight.
I sound like Hootie Johnson at the tournament in the playoffs.
Well, hello there.
He's 23, and he threw for, 380 yards. Megatron went absolutely bananas, as you like to say, unlike Thomas, who was just wide open catching passes.
Right.
Megatron was actually going over people. And, they need a lot of work on that defense. We talked before the season that Eric Wright was a big pickup for them at cornerback. But
he he's not like adding Jonathan Joseph.
He clearly wasn't enough. So, like the Carolina Panthers, the Lions use every draft pick on defense.
No, that's true.
Their offense is pretty much set. Maybe pick up if they want to bolster the line, maybe do that through free agency or something. But there are going to be a lot of expectations for this team, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond because sometimes these expectations turn these teams into 6-10 outfits as opposed to building on what they started. So they're relatively young. Schwartz now has something to build on, but he's young as well. So I have no issues with how they finished. I mean, it's certainly not what they wanted, but you have to respect kind of what they did as a young team who was 0-16 in 2008.
Oh, no, without question. I mean, look, you talk about those two dropped interceptions. If those are caught, we're talking about a totally different ball game. And I think, Matthew Stafford, 28-43, 380, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Drew Brees, 33-43, 466, 3 touchdowns, no picks. So, I mean, pretty even lines for them. Obviously, the 2 picks are a huge difference in the 5 completions. Right. But, I mean, like, Drew Brees had 2 picks that were dropped is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think that Matthew Stafford didn't look too bothered by the loss. I mean, he clearly wasn't happy with it after the game, but you could tell he was like, look, they hung 45 on us. What do you want me to do?
He's 23 and worth $50 million. He'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing fine. They need to lock up Calvin Johnson to a long-term deal. I think they need to go out and get another power running back,
Well, Javid Best will be back, but yeah, they can ask.
Mecole Shore will be back too, but I mean,
if
he'd been there all season, they're a totally different dynamic. But I mean, you got to make sure you got somebody as a backup in case LeSure blows out his ACL again.
Yeah, but Isaac Revan proved that you can find somebody. He was an undrafted free agent.
Kevin Smith proves that
Well, they signed the wrong one. That's all I'm saying. You can find those guys.
All right, yeah, fair enough.
Foster.
Yeah, that's true. I think the Lions have a lot to build on. I think they're, if you look at that division, the Bears are kind of up in the air. Even with Mike Tice at offensive coordinator now, the Vikings are obviously rebuilding. The Lions are in good shape. What about the Saints going to San Francisco? Does that worry you at all? The outdoors.
No, I actually looked at the numbers, and Drew Brees is throwing for almost as many yards outdoors as indoors, and it's going to be nice in San Francisco anyway. It's not like they're playing in Green Bay or some other cold weather city. I think the 49ers are in trouble. I know that last year, this week 2 of 2010 season, the Saints went out there and barely beat the 49ers, a bad 49ers team. That's with Singletary, and Alex Smith was still not yet under the wing of Harbaugh. And they won on the last second field goal that actually was deflected that still went through the uprights. But, people talk about Super Bowl hangovers, which I think is just a lazy media trick. But, the Saints had not played well that game, and they still managed to win. I think this game will be different. My only concern is that if someone gets a hit on Drew Brees, a legit hit, and Chase Daniels has to come in, they're going to be in a bad way.
Well, yeah, but you could say that about –
Well, my only qualification is that if it's long-term, now clearly the season's over either way, but if it happens to linger into next year, that's a problem. And I only say that because the Saints insist on throwing the ball no matter what the score is.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, you kind of feel like they've got something coming. But, yeah, I mean, look, if the Packers are fine if Aaron Rodgers gets knocked out. Matt Flynn will come in and he'll come in and throw it for 600 yards. No, I mean, I think the you know, you look at the Saints and the Patriots, those are two teams that are in deep doo doo if their quarterback gets jacked. I mean, the Packers aren't in great shape because Flynn ain't going to do that every week. But I mean, they at least have a competent backup. We don't really know what we'll see out of Chase Daniel necessarily.
Also, as I pointed out in the after the Saints won, the reason that they lost last year to Seattle when Seattle was 7-9 hosting that playoff game in the wild card round is beast mode. And Frank Gore has yet to show up as beast mode because he's been injured for most of the year. So at some point, even though the Saints defense is shaky, they're going to have to throw the ball to the 49ers. And I'm not sure that's going to be a long lasting and a, you know, kind of winning way to pull this thing out.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's got to be – they want – the 49ers are going to need this game to play out like the Broncos and Steelers game. If it gets into any sort of shootout, the Saints are going to roll with it. But I think that if the 49ers keep it close and don't have to – you know, and can run the ball and play defense and don't have to actually, you know, try to, you know, chunk the ball down the field to come back against the Saints – then I think the 49ers can win it. They're dogs by 3.5 at home. They're the number two seed, and it's you know, they've been a really good team all year long. I mean, yeah.
No, I agree, but I think we have reached a point where defense no longer wins championships when you're talking about Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. I think the San Francisco defense has been very good this year. They whipped up on Ben Roethlisberger, but he had one leg. I think Drew Brees, with many more weapons and two good legs, could very easily make easy work of that defense.
Yeah, no. We'll see. I think I might pick the 49ers, but I mean, okay. That's my knee jerk reaction. I think everybody's gonna be on that Saints bandwagon. I think it's understandable because they look really good, but I think it's early. The defenses they played haven't.
Early prediction for Harbaugh versus Harbaugh Super Bowl.
Ooh, that would be that. Where would that rank in terms of Super Bowl matchups? Not for you, not for your own nightmare fuel, but just in terms of like.
Would it rank ahead or below the 2006 matchup when we had the first two black head coaches when the Saints, I mean, when the Bears met the Colts? Because that's all they talked about. No,
yeah, sense. That was ridiculous, wasn't it?
I think this would be worse than that because, I mean, the stories we'd have to endure of when they were in middle school and you know, beat up each other.
Oh, my God. No, I'm thinking of like the matchups like of this year, like. Patriots-Packers is probably the number one matchup.
Yeah.
Right? But just because, you know, Brady, Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be pretty low on the list, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet Harbaugh would be five or ten, something like that.
Tebow against anyone would be number one.
Tebow, you think so?
Yeah, Tebow against any NFC team would be number one because Tebow was there.
That's true. Tebow 49ers would be a stinker, though.
God, they would have to stage it on the moon to get ratings.
I know. And we're gonna show Packers games here, and
we're gonna reshow the Packers Steelers Super Bowl.
No, it would have insane ratings because Tebow is there. But I mean, like that would be in terms of watchability, that would suck.
It sure would.
Anyway, yeah. So I like the 49ers there. I guess the final game. We didn't talk about Texans Bengals yet, did we? Texans Bengals
just briefly. Pac-Man Jones getting burned.
Yeah, good game. The Texans looked really good. T.J. Yates wasn't asked to do much. Had one big throw where he hit a bomb to Andre Johnson for a 40-yard touchdown. Otherwise, I think he was 10 of 15, if I recall correctly, something like that.
11 of 20.
Okay, I mean
it's not great.
No,
those are Tebow numbers.
Yeah, 11 to 20, 159 and a touchdown, but he didn't have to do anything because J.J. Watt pick-sixed Andy Dalton near the end of the half. An incredible athletic play. Can't blame Andy Dalton for that.
One of the best plays of the year, yeah. Although I would put it behind Jerome Simpson's somersault into the end zone.
Yeah, it's definitely behind that. And by the way, they played in the Rose Bowl, and in 2 years ago, Andy Dalton upended J.J. Watt's Wisconsin team.
Yeah, well, payback.
Yeah, of course, the Texans beat the Bengals few weeks ago. So yeah. Arian Foster ran 24 times for 153 yards and two touchdowns, including a 42-yard run that will embarrass the Bengals for quite some time.
And Chris Crocker.
Yeah, Chris Crocker's feeling bad about that one. I want to say that the Texans could take the Ravens, but I'm not sure they can. I think Baltimore won out in this one because they you know, they if they stop the run, they're going to win that game, I think.
Yeah, our buddy MDS said he sort of likes the Texans early. We'll talk to him Tuesday about this.
Really?
But I don't see the Texans winning. I would love for them to win. I would love for the Texans to win the Super Bowl for any number of reasons. But, yeah, they couldn't win in Baltimore with Matt Schaub. I don't know how they're going to do it with T.J. Yates. They can say they want to run the ball all they want, and they can run the stretch play-action play that they're so good at. But the Ravens are the Ravens. And the Ravens can be run on, but I'm not sure that T.J. Yates is going to do it. It's sort of like the Steelers and the Broncos. They'll stop the run and dare T.J. Yates to beat them. And if T.J. Yates plays like
Tim Tebow did,
that's fine. They'll deal with that, but I don't see that happening. So,
yeah, I don't either. I mean, I just have a hard time. I think the Ravens are favored by 7.5.
Sounds low.
Really? I like the Texans against the spread. I think they'll keep it at least close. I don't think the Joe Flacco is going to come out and torch the Texans secondary by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, but remember, last week, Ray Rice had 2 carries for 121 yards and 2 touchdowns.
that's true.
And that was the game.
Yeah, but, I mean, Arian Foster could do the same thing. I mean, the Texans defense is good.
I would love for them to play well, but then I think back to games like the one against the Colts.
Yeah.
Where Orlovsky just said, hey, I actually am an NFL quarterback. Yeah, no. So you never know.
All right, so God, those are our games. You know, you look at the bracket. We got some good matchups. I mean, these are everybody held seed. You know, it's you got the ones and the fours and the twos and the threes. I mean, these are
AFC. I think it's AFC chalk, NFC not chalk.
No, it's chalk all the way across the board.
No. Next week.
Wait, what do you mean next week? It's chalk across the board.
You think it's?
To win.
49ers, yeah.
Oh, no. I was just saying it's chalk, Matt. Like in the wild cards, chalk one is what I was saying.
Yeah. No, but next week I think that NFC could be the Saints and maybe even the Giants. I'm sort of leaning towards both those teams, but I think AFC is chalk to continue on to the AFC championship game.
I'm leaning 49ers, Packers for some reason.
All right.
And then Ravens and Patriots. So I'm going the opposite of you. Although, look, I'm not counting on the Broncos quite yet. I got a chalk in the NFC.
Jeez.
And I got chalk across the board here, actually.
Do you remember what we said for our Super Bowl predictions last week? Because I don't.
I said Ravens and Packers.
I said Ravens Saints. All right. So we're still alive.
Still alive. Second
Sadly.
Chance. Yeah.
You want to change?
No. It's the first time my Super Bowl pick's been alive in like 18 weeks. I'll stick with it,
but I hope it's not that way. All right,
cool. Well, we'll be back. We'll be back Tuesday to break down the rest of the action. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes. Ryan, as always, a pleasure.
Tebow. Oh.